أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the Universe, the Master of the Day of Judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to His magnificence, His omnipotence, His might, His glory, to His being the Creator and Sustainer of all things, the Giver of life, the Guider of hearts, the Master of the Day of Judgment. And I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread his path until the last day. It is said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into this month of Rajab, he would make a special dua that was in relation to the coming month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, oh Allah, make blessed for us the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan, and allow for us to reach the month of Ramadan. And this dua is something that many of us are going to hear in the coming days and weeks in various gatherings. You'll see it posted throughout social media, but you want to let it start to anchor within you that you and I, every single tomorrow for the next weeks, are getting a day closer each day to the month of Ramadan. May Allah make us from amongst those who reach and witness that blessed month and take from it all of the benefits that are rightfully for us to take. We want to utilize these days to get ready for those days, and to be in a place where the idea is to not just have information that is given to us. This is not the benefit of ilm in our tradition. Knowing something in and of itself is not necessarily enough. You gotta act upon what you know. And so if you consciously are aware of the fact that you are just weeks away from Ramadan, what are you going to do with that information is a subjective conversation. If you know that it is a month of blessing, it is a month of mercy, it is a month of reflection, it is a month that has within it a day that is worth more than 1,000 months worth of worship, may Allah make us from those who witness and benefit from Laylatul Qadr. If you know these things, what are you going to do in relation to it? And our tradition roots ilm in a deep connection to hikmah, wisdom. That you take what you know and you act upon what you know. You just don't throw it out there in conversations with people. What's that going to really do? Even if you know something and it is there in your base, the Quran says, لِمَا تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, then why do you say that which you don't do? The idea of just putting information out for the sake of information without you acting upon it individually is not what the Quran teaches us to do. And the benefit can only be derived by acting upon what it is that you have in terms of beneficial knowledge. So you gotta get ready for Ramadan from now. It's your Ramadan. It's not a joke. It's not something that you say, well, I'm just going to do it the way that I did it before. It shouldn't be the case, because you should not be the same as you were a year prior to this day. And you put it now into a frame of what is more broadly tomorrow. What you're getting ready for in terms of not just worldly success, but the world that comes after this. May Allah make us people of Jannah. Amen. Last week I talked about Sahur. And somebody said to me, is it really that big of a deal to get up and eat something before you start fasting? That you have in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Tasahharu, have your sahur, the pre-dawn meal, something before you start your fasting. In the fisuhur barakah, he says that indeed within the suhur there is blessing, barakah. But you want to be able to now shift paradigms inwardly, not just on what you understand something to be, but what it actually is. And to think about what the blessing and benefit is when you go through one opening of something, how it opens that much more. There are a lot of things that are recommended practices, not from the fara'id. They're not obligatory. You don't have to do them. But you want to transition now from burdensome relationship with the divine to a relationship that's rooted in a loving surrender and submission, and the recommendations enhance. If you wake up for sahur in the morning, may Allah make us from those who wake up for this pre-morning meal. If you wake up for that meal in the morning, you are not just getting the barakah that comes from even a sip of water, but you have now created the opportunity for many different things to happen in that blessed period of time. When was the last time you woke up before your fast to make the intention for fasting? Just think about it for yourself. If you have fasted in Ramadans before this one, and you wake up in that blessed portion of the night, not just making a niyyah to fast, but a high niyyah, a niyyah that has real himmah to it. A one that says that my primary intention is that this fast is for your sake, Ya Allah, the day that's ahead of me. But then nuancing it with secondary intentions, that on this day I will also intend to be in a place where I don't diminish my fast through gossips, lying, cheating, backbiting. That the day that's ahead of me, I affirm in this intention that I will stay steadfast on my prayers, that I will be committed to being in a place of prostration to you at the times you have told me to. There's going to be no slander, no vile talk, no obscenities that come from my mouth. A day of fasting that is going to be rooted in freedom from complaints and negativity and pessimism. If you wake up for sahur, you can also make that intention prior to the fast starting. If you wake up for sahur, you can engage in now what is just even a quick 2 rak'ahs of prayer. At a portion of the day that we are taught that the angels are sent down to see who is turning to the divine, you wake up prior to the fajr, you don't have to pray qiyam or tahajjud the way somebody else prays. You know Surah Ikhlas and Surah Kawthar. Bang out some rak'ahs with just the shortest chapters that you know. There's still barakah in it. You make dua for those whose names only you know. Make du'as for people who are beloved to you that the rest of us don't know their names. When was the last time you woke up in the middle of the night and made du'a for my grandfather? It's not that you're a bad person. Why would you ever think about my grandfather? Do you understand? And all of this is an opening that can come for the mother who struggled for you, for the teacher who sacrificed for you, for the friend who listened to you, for the person who taught you how to pray and the importance of it, not just in your body, but with your heart. If you wake up for sahur, you can do all of these things in 5 minutes. That's really all it takes. And likely, if you wake up for sahur, you're not going to miss Fajr. The two sunnahs of which the Prophet ﷺ, he says that they are worth the entire world and everything in it. But that's only something that's going to be incentivized for you if you believe in it. If you believe that those two simple rak'ahs that can take you less than a minute to perform, they are worth the entire world, meaning every mansion and every bank that is filled to its brim and its vaults. All of the riches and jewels that you can imagine that this earth is filled with. Every time you pray those 2 rak'ahs, the ajr is greater in capacity to what this entire world has and everything in it. That's why you gotta wake up for sahur. But in order to wake up for Suhoor, you have to have wakefulness in the heart and think about it from within the heart's paradigm, not from within what the world calls you towards. We have everybody move up close. If you come in real close to make room for people, if there's any carpet in front of you, we appreciate it, because the room is going to get filled up. Thank you. And how you see these things cannot just be a product of mechanics that you have experienced them year to year to year. But they are within them spiritual secrets. They are methods through which our God and His Messenger have taught us to harness contentment. And you bring the presence of a heart into it. The preparation for those days requires us to understand that Ramadan is something that is not now just simply rooted in the practice of fasting in and of itself. But you can prep for it in the sense that within the month there is so much that we can access and so much that we have to be conscious of that render difficulty for us to do the acts that are open for us to do by our invitation's acceptance. You just gotta be in a place where you're willing to do it. The month of Ramadan is about the Quran. When you look in the Quran and it talks about Ramadan, it links it to the Quran. And there's not a person you will meet who calls themselves a Muslim, whether they have memorized the Quran in its entirety, know every single one of its recitations, or they don't even know how to read the Arabic. You're not in a competition with anybody else. It's just the me that I am today is not afraid to meet the one I can be tomorrow. There's not a person on a spectrum of engagement with the Quran who cannot have a better relationship with the Quran. There's always something you can do to take more from that text, to engage that text. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he would perform one khatam of the Quran in a day in Ramadan. There were companions of the Prophet who within 3 days would do an entire recitation of the Quran. Some would do it in a week's time, some would do it every 10 days. You got to build a relationship with the Quran for yourself. And you think about it in terms of what again it means to you. How do you see it? And how do you shift the paradigm? It's not a book that's meant to just sit on a shelf, nor is it something that's meant to be rotely memorized. Most of the companions were not hufaz of the Quran. But they took what they learned from it and had a willingness to actually say, there's something this book can teach me. It actually has within it guiding principles that can give to me an understanding of how it is that I'm meant to live my life in this world. And the text in and of itself, it not challenges, but invites you to be somebody who doesn't blindly follow faith and religion, but on pretty much every page, it's telling you to think, to contemplate, to ponder, to reflect. How can you reflect on something if you don't read it? How can you contemplate upon something if the only time you engage it is based off of somebody else telling you what it says? There's a benefit to listening to the text. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would tell his companions to recite the Quran to him. And they would say, how can we recite this book to you? This book was revealed to you and you want us to tell you what it says? And the Prophet says that he enjoys hearing it being recited from other people. There's a barakah in this. There's a blessing in this, just simply hearing the recitation of the Quran. You got to throw the excuses out the door and you start to ready yourself from this day. The Quran is a big part of Ramadan. Pick it up and read it from now. Don't be scared. Don't be in a place where it's something you just leave behind or something that you, God forbid, weaponize to hurt somebody else. That's not the point of reading this book. To become now a Sharia police that says why everybody else is wrong and you're the only one that's right. But you read it from your heart. A verse a day, 2 verses a day, 3 verses a day, you're good. At a pace that makes sense for you, everybody's relationship with the text can be better. doesn't mean the default that it's bad, but it has mode of improvement. As you ready yourself for that month of Ramadan, you understand that it's a month that the Prophet ﷺ is described as being somebody who is more charitable and generous than at any other time of the year. He was already an individual who had generosity as a part of his just fixed character. And in this month, he was even more so than at other times. The act of giving is a spiritual act in our tradition. Your sadaqah, your zakah is not meant to be mindless, that you write a check or you push a button. The goal of automating things that give ease is fine, but you want to have presence because you're giving to the beneficiary not for their benefit alone, but you're giving to the beneficiary for the benefit of your heart. Ibn Umar radiallahu an, he's described in the month of Ramadan that he would pray in the nights of Ramadan on his own in his house. And then when the masjid was emptied, he would go to the masjid to pray after the people left, taking a flask of water with him. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says that, or he is said to, when it was time to break fast, he would purposely find people in need that he could break his fast with. And then if somebody who was poor, who had no food, came to ask him for the food he was eating to break his fast on, he would give them willfully the food that he was going to eat. This is what the extent of giving is in our tradition. That you are in a place where you don't just have it be something that you hold over your sister or brother's head. But there's a sense of knowing and awareness of what the needs are of the person sitting next to me that I'm praying with. Many of you will pray two rak'ahs when you walk into a masjid. Some will even say during the khutbah, you gotta pray two. And there's hadith where the Prophet makes a man stand to pray two when he comes in. But the hadith that complement that narration, they give us context to it, is that the man that's made to stand is a person who's in need. And when the Prophet makes him stand, everybody in the jama'ah can see the state that their brother is in. Without him having to be in a place where he brings now unwarranted attention that could create discomfort. So he says, stand up and pray. And everybody sees this man praying. And they see that he's not doing okay. And then they now have the capacity to know that this is somebody that I could support. You bring people into your lives that are not just sharing race, class, culture with you, but you embrace what it really means to be part of a community, and you know who it is that's actually in need, and then you engage in the spiritual act of giving. That's what Ramadan is about. And I want you to think about these things. What are you gonna do with the Quran in Ramadan? What are you going to do in terms of acts of charity, volunteerism in Ramadan? How are you going to plan to be in a place where you live the hadith that says even smiling is a sadaqah? And that's where you don't let your hunger be something that perpetuates stress and irritation and anger, because you didn't plan right from this day and you're too exhausted to actually give salams to somebody. You start to think now that I'm going to go to the place where everyone is breaking fast, and I'm going to be there because people are going to need somebody who's kind and compassionate and gentle to welcome them in, to encourage them to good deeds. Ramadan is about charity. Ramadan in large part is about prayer, dua, salah. And you build for yourself an opportunity to have consistency with these things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is described as a man that had routine. It wasn't just spontaneity. Today I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to sleep at this time, and the next day I'm going to wake up at this time, and maybe I'll eat now and I'll drink something later, and every day is different. Kana 'amaluhu dhima, the hadith says that his actions were called consistent, but the word dima in Arabic, that denotes there's regularity. When you talk about the early morning rain, when it falls and it
gives greenness to the land, a gentle rain that's nourishing. That's the word dima. The prophet's consistency was not in things that created difficulty for his inward state at the simple complacency of his external. But there were things that he did routinely that would allow for these practices to be carried forward. Why do you eat at the times that you eat? Why do you drink at the times that you drink? Why do most of us have no real semblance of a solid sleep schedule? All of these things fit in to our spiritual existence and the relationship we have with dunya. You use Ramadan to now be in a place where that consistency establishes itself, especially in the performance of your prayers. You get to a point in life where you can say that, you know what? It's not more important for me to be in a place where I sleep through Fajr. And you learn about yourself enough that if you can flock to the masjids in the nighttime of Ramadan and you can go 20 rak'ahs, 10 rak'ahs, 11 rak'ahs, you can do that outside of the month of Ramadan. And you awaken a consciousness that says that my ability to perform in this month is attached to my doing of these things, and I yield now intellectual understanding that I am blessed to serve people food. I am blessed to be in a place where I prostrate. I am blessed to do some of these things in this month. Why would I not do them outside of it as well? And you very much so consciously start to establish routine. That's what Ramadan starts to do. And you have to be consistent with it. And you think about it. I had a brother that came to me the other day and he said that, I'm starting work, I'm working now, I've never had Ramadan in work before. And he said, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to get to my job at a certain time, because I usually woke up at a certain time as a student during Ramadan. I said, well, what time would you go to sleep? And he said, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, what were you doing till 1 a.m.? And he was like, you know, it's Ramadan. I was like, what were you really doing, man, till 1 a.m.? He said, well, yeah, maybe I was talking and hanging out and these kinds of things. You just have to be real with yourself. The social aspect to it is part of the recommendations. Food for one is enough for two, and food for two is enough for four. This is truth. Because the messenger said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't want to plan poorly so that you are seated alone, breaking your fast. You don't want to also be the reason that the person that you are sitting next to and you have been praying next to every Friday for years has no one to be inviting them to break fast with, because you never bothered to learn who they were. There is a barakah in being in a place where you share a meal with someone. That's where the social aspect comes in, the communal aspect. You bring that structure and the routine to the day, utilize the nights in ways that are meaningful, plan strategically so that your heart leaves filled with just love and positivity at the end of the month. And you go at a pace that makes sense for you. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are said to be from the most auspicious of all of these auspicious nights. There are people in this community who purposely take vacation from work in those last 10 nights because all they want to do is seize the benefit of those nights. There's some of us who do not get the privilege of taking time off during Ramadan. But you still have the opportunity to plan within the course of your routine what you are going to be doing from this day until then. As you plan things that are immensely important, you are hosting iftars in your homes, your apartments, inviting people. There's barakah in this to feed the fasting person. You have to believe in it. The Prophet says that the reward for the one who feeds the fasting person is as if he fasted himself. But you take into consideration that the idea is to not be an inhibition or an obstacle from an individual in their pathway towards the divine. Some of you will have the opportunity to invite people into your home, and you will then be in an amazing place to encourage them, many of them, to pray the Isha prayer for the first time in congregation in their life. And you can say, well, how is that possible? Is there actually people who have never prayed Isha together in their life? I guarantee to you that you are sitting with people who no one has ever invited them into a home and said, let's pray together before you leave. You don't want the routine of serving somebody to be in a place where you are honoring the rights of guests to the extent that it becomes a distraction from your own Ramadan. The hospitality adab in our tradition is that when you bring someone into your home, you serve them at a minimum food that you are used to eating yourself, if not food that is a little bit better than that. The preparation of the day for the meal at the night is not something that should come at the sacrifice, nor should the expectation be that when you go into somebody's abode and they have fed you now, that you have anything less than gratitude to express. That includes if you go to your local masjid, you come to this center, you see a volunteer, you see somebody who's giving up time, say good things to them, encourage them. Let them know that you appreciate the fulfillment of this practice that comes from the recommendation of the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who taught me and you that feeding people who are fasting is good. The ideal is from here, and to start to think from these days how you will plan and utilize those to the best of your ability. Do not confine it now to a reality that simply succumbs to things in a materialistic world. Understand that it is for you to take and you alone. And the prioritization of Ramadan, whether you are engaged now in the practice of Quranic relationship building, you are engaged in the practice of prayers, Qiyam, Tahajjud, your five daily salah, whether you are engaged in acts of charity, acts of remembrance, acts of fasting, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Why would you start getting ready for it a month from now, a month and a half from now? It just comes down to recognizing its meaning. At the stage of life that I'm in, what does this thing mean to me? And all of these other things that I've been taught in relation to it, do I believe them to be actually spiritual exercises that come back to the development of my inner state? Your Prophet ﷺ got sad. He had an entire year in his life that was known as the year of grief, the year of depression. When he loses both his uncle and his wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the same year, they say he was never the same after that moment. It impacts him, the loss of a loved one. To be in a place where you can understand that the idea is to not be devoid of human experience, but to be in a place where contentment can coexist with all of these things that we go through. And you got to start thinking about Ramadan as a gift. You have to be able to shift what it is that you see it as from this day and give yourself a thought process that embraces it for what it is. And that shifting is an inward practice. I'll give you an example before I sit for the second khutbah. We had a student from here who we took for Umrah some years ago. And we're in Medina, and many of you have likely heard of the prophetic traditions, the hadith, about the tree that the Prophet ﷺ used to lean against when he would give the khutbah before the minbar was built. If you haven't heard of it, there is a tree that the Prophet used to lean against before the minbar was built. And when the minbar is established, the Prophet ﷺ, he steps away from the tree, and the hadith says that they can literally hear the tree crying because the best of creation wasn't leaning against it anymore. And this young woman, she sat with me one of the days that we were there in Medina. And she said, I don't really know if I belong here. That you all keep talking about this tree, and I see all of these people standing in front of the grave of the messenger and in the rawda, and the tears are just flowing out of their eyes. And she said, when I am in the masjid, I don't have any tears coming. When I go to the hotel, I feel a little bit remorse and sad. I want to be back there. But why are they crying and I am not? Why am I not like this tree? I said to her, you sound more like the tree than anybody else. Because the tree ain't cry when the Prophet was leaning against it. The tree cried when it was away from the Prophet. And she said, I didn't see it that way. I said, that's what we're here for, to help you see what it really is. And not what shaitan wants you to see it as. But Ramadan is a gift. You have to see it that way. You have to cut out the excuses and tell yourself that there's any reason whatsoever why you can't uniquely take from it everything that is your right to take. The goal is to not make it look the way that it looks like for somebody else. You got to still study, you got to still go to work, you still got to have responsibilities honored. But the starting point is going to be from within here. That you will hear khutbah after khutbah until we get to there, that's about prepping for the month. But the ability to act upon it and the willingness to do so, not in a way as if you are constrained by burden, but you are compelled by real love, is going to be based off of how you see this thing in the first place. Do you see it as a distraction? Do you see it as heaviness? Do you see it as something that you can't participate in because you don't know how to read the Arabic of the Quran, because you have to work at night, because you don't have the ability to fast, you don't have wealth to give in charity? Are you going to see it as everything that it is? And how there's still room for every single one of us to take from it? But it's based off of what it is that we perceive it to be. Inshallah ta'ala, Allah will make us from amongst those who understand what its actual meaning and purpose is, and not let any moment of these days pass us by where we can ready ourselves to take from that beautiful month everything that we have capacity to. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسول. Inshallah ta'ala, our intention is to provide an entire set of programs and services as we always do for Ramadan. And we hope that each one of you will come, bring your loved ones, your family members. It's the most majestic experience, the ability to break fast with you all and spend time with you all and be here with you all. And as individuals, we can contribute now to the collective experience. If you can't get yourself ready for Ramadan for your own sake, which is an important reason to do it, get yourself ready for Ramadan so you bring the best version of yourself for the rest of us who are sitting here with you. Get yourself ready for it for the sake of the people who love you more than you might even know and willing to acknowledge. The people who are your families, your friends, your loved ones, the state that you bring is something that will enhance the experience for all of us. You want to be in a place where there's continuity and a recognition that you will get out of it what you put into it. Inshallah ta'ala, we will all be able to be in a place where we truly benefit from this coming month of Ramadan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ
يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين We begin this supplication in your name يا الله beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present here in and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask ya Allah that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all other hearts that are gathered here, only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Increase us, Ya Allah, in all that is good. Make us from amongst those who find blessings in this month of Rajab, in the coming month of Sha'ban. And enable us, Ya Rabbi, to meet that blessed month of Ramadan in the best of states. Make us those who take advantage of every minute, of every hour, of every day that you have given to us in these coming weeks to meet that blessed gift in the best way possible. Help us in these days, Ya Allah, to curtail our speaking of ill and obscenities towards others. Make us those who desire to be from amongst those whose words are uplifting and bring joy to the hearts of your creation. Keep us from being those who lie and break promises, cheat and gossip, slander in any which way possible. And help us, Ya Allah, to be in a place where we build a deeper relationship with your Quran. Make us from amongst those who understand its deepest of meanings, most apparent in those that are hidden. Make us those who are not simply the sayers of the words of that book, but the ones who are the doers of the word. Grant us a character that is reflective of the beauty that is your Quran. Make us those, Ya Allah, who use these days to build our routines in such a way that we can stand even for brief moments in the blessed parts of the nights of Ramadan. Help us in these days to make mental notes of every name of every person that we will be uttering prayers for in those nights. Amen. Within all of it, Ya Rabbi, help us to remember that all you want from us is to try our best. That we are not in a place where our actions are for show. That you look for reasons to accept from us, Ya Allah. Amen. In these days, help us to reach that month and through it all, make it a means through which we deepen in the recognition of your presence, the presence of your love, the presence of your mercy. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وأقيم الصلاة